197, when peace like a river. 197.
Sorrows like sea. Thank you for those songs. When peace like a river attendeth my way, do we have that peace within us? And are we willing to identify with the last verse of that song? Are we able to say, and haste the day when you will call me away? And those aren't exactly the same words that they're using there. Do we grieve a long time when someone, a loved one, has passed away? Or do we actually, are we actually excited for them that God has called them away? And we know that they have lived for the Lord and that they are with Jesus for all eternity, where they will never again experience pain and sorrow, where we will meet them once again. Sometimes we want to hang on to things here in this world, and yet God has offered us a better life. Out of this world, with Him for all eternity. And I was so encouraged when we sang those two songs, where we cannot understand the grace, why He does what He does for us, being born of a sin nature, and yet He loves us. And when we fall away, He wants us to come back to be in His fold. For my text words this morning, I have chosen out of John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What a wonderful promise we have in this verse. And we know there are many other verses in Scripture that encourage us, that encourage me to go on to live for Him, to leave the ways of this world behind, where there is no benefit in our life. Many times it just drags us down, to leave it behind and go forward serving God. And even though I fail so many times, and yet I know that is where God wants me. And I know that when I have fallen back and I come back to Him, I repent, He forgives me. And He welcomes us back into His care. So when we look at that verse, but as many as received Him, it is a choice. It was a choice then, it is a choice now. For those of us that have accepted Him as our personal Savior, and I pray that each one here today, and those that should be listening, that they have surrendered their life to Christ, that they have accepted Him as their personal Savior, and that they are walking according to His will. For those that have received Him, to them He gave, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The grace that God still extends toward us that we cannot understand why He does it. And yet He promises us that when we surrender, when we give it all for Him, that He will carry us through. And it says, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God doesn't want the death of a sinner. That is not why He created Adam and Eve. That is not why He created mankind. He created Adam in His own image. He has created you and me in His own image. His Spirit is within us. Do we allow that Spirit to live within us, or are we walking our own way? When we read through Scripture, we see time and again of how God places things before people in order to wake them up. And sometimes I need a shaking. Like, what's happening with you, Henry? Wake up already. Can't you see the road that where you're walking leads to destruction? I don't know if you can identify with that, but I know for a fact that's real. Sometimes He has to wake me up to get past that point of selfishness and to see His will in my life, to live it out, that other people can see by the way that I live that there's more than this world has to offer, that I serve a greater God who can save me. And that doesn't mean that we won't be persecuted. That doesn't mean that we won't get sick. But He will carry us through whatever it is that we will face. When you look at your life, what has God done in your life that was so clear that there was no denying that it came from Him and Him alone? Have you experienced that moment? That is always such a joy to know that God cares for me, and when I have strayed, that He wants me back, and that He places things before me to get me to see that I need to change. Before Jesus was born, God prepared a man to prepare the way for Him, before Him, to wake the people up, to tell them, the time is coming, repent, for it is time that Christ will come into the world. I want to turn to the first part of this book in John chapter 1. We want to start in verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." When we look at these verses, we see the nature of God, what His will is for us. He tells us here that He has always been, He will always be. And the purpose for Him to send Jesus into this world, to give us light, to show us by example on how we ought to live. And yes, we weren't there when He walked in this world, but He has left us a roadmap. One that we can follow. One that where we can go to when all else fails. Where we can go to and find peace and joy in going on serving Him. So in verses 6 to 8, we read, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light," speaking about John was not that light, "but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So here we see that God, as I said already, God prepared a man to go before Jesus and tell the world that the time has come. The awaited time was now very, very near, where Jesus would come. And yes, it took another 30 years, where John had time to grow up, to be in the will of God. And when the time was right, he went forth and spread the gospel. He told the people, it is time to repent. Jesus has come, and he would start his ministry very, very soon. And we know that Jesus only walked in this world for 3 years. And yet he had something that was to be desired. The life that he lived, the way that he lived his life was attractive. When we would go and ask our neighbors, or maybe the people that we work with, what would they have to say about us? Is there something in me that is attractive, according to the word of God? Or am I living a selfish life? What are the people, what are our friends seeing? What are the people that we work together with? Or when we go shopping, what are the people seeing? Is there something peculiar within us that would draw the attention of other people to realize that I truly have Christ within me, or you truly have Christ within you? John was sent for a purpose. He was born for a purpose, and he fulfilled that commandment. God has given us life. He lives within us. Have we accepted him? And if we have accepted him, are we fulfilling his ways? Are we fulfilling his will? We know that we will only live life once. And many times opportunities are placed before us once. And that opportunity will never come again. Sometimes we get more chances. Sometimes we're out and we meet people that we've never met before and we never meet again. Where there was an opportunity to spread the word of God. What did we do with it? I know I failed. Where I've sometimes kicked myself, why didn't I? But that opportunity is gone. We need to live life to the fullest. That's what Jesus did. When we read of when he walked in this world, his desire was to seek and to save the lost. He says those that are healthy don't need a doctor. But those that are sick, and I'm talking about spiritually sick, they need a doctor. The one who created them, the one that can heal them. But the one that won't force himself upon us. But he is there. And when we repent, when we ask for help, that help will never be denied. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that John walked before. He walked before Jesus. And he says, the time is now. Repent. Jesus is coming. Verse 9 to 11, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. How have we lived life? How are we living life? Are we in him? Or are we just like the world? We know, and yet I still want to go my own way. I would rather follow the ways of this world and do it on my own than allowing God to lead. He wants to help us. He's out there. And in verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Our first birth, we don't have no control of, but our second birth, we do. Have we accepted him? A very, very personal question. I have to ask myself, and you will have to ask that question yourself. Are you willing to surrender everything for Christ? That is what he requires of us. To give up self and allow him to lead and guide us. We want to take this opportunity and go before Almighty Maker, who knows us inside out, where there's nothing hid. And my question would be, If there is something that is hid within us, let's open it up today. Because today is a day of salvation. That's what John preached then, and that is still real for us today because we are still here. So for those of you who are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take our blue book and turn to number 34, How Great Thou Art. Number 34, let's all stand.
Christ shall come with
If we have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of he will have heard our prayers. I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. Timothy is reminded to go out and preach the truth. Starting in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. So first of all, in this verse here, he reminds Timothy to go out and tell the people that God is within you. He has given you different gifts and use them to the fullest. Don't hide them. Sometimes we think we're not capable of using what God has given us. But as I've said today already, God knows us. He's created us and he will carry us through. If he has given us a gift, use it. Don't misuse it, but use it. And then in verse 7 it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is the God that we serve. That is what he will do for us. We don't have to fear. And I must admit before, when I stepped behind a pulpit here, fear set in. And I have to tell Satan to leave, because fear is of Satan. It's not of God. Right? It is. And so many times we fear because of people. We're afraid of people who can hurt us, who might look at us in a funny way, who maybe won't agree with how we see Scripture, and that is okay. The important thing is that if this is what God's Word says, that is exactly what it is. It doesn't matter what I think or what you think. That's reality. And then in verse 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be not ashamed. Don't fear, but also be not ashamed. Be not ashamed to go out and witness when it's been placed before you. As I mentioned before, opportunities where we can witness and we don't take it because of fear of man. I can also identify with selfish reasons. I don't have time. I have set my agenda for today. And if I stop and visit 5 minutes, I will not accomplish what I want to accomplish. And having said that, the thought goes in my mind goes back to where Bishop John Friesen said that he had never left a crop in the field because of someone needed help. He said there were times where it was absolutely the best time to combine, to harvest whatever he had on his field. And somebody came and he had to leave it there. God knows. And God will provide if we are willing to be faithful. We have to let go of self. Just because I think I don't have time, God knows. And if he's placed the opportunity before me, I need to take it. I need to take full advantage of it in order to receive the blessings that he has for us. In verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Like I said before already, he created Adam and Eve in his own image. To what? To spread the word of God, to do his will. And that is still the same today. And in verse 10 it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul knows what he's talking about when he says, I've been afflicted. He was in bonds. He was in prison. And he still served God. He did not give in. He had persecuted the church. He knew what it was like to persecute the church. He knew what it was like to kill followers of Jesus Christ. He was at the feet of Stephen when he was murdered. And when he served God, when he started serving God, he knew what he would face. But he was not ashamed. He was ashamed of the lifestyle that he had lived. And now he was willing to go forward and give it 100%. Are we willing? We don't know how much life we have left, how many opportunities we will have. But whatever it is, are we willing to go forward? It is so desperately needed out there. There's so much sin setting into the churches. And we know what God thinks of that. And we know what he did in the Old Testament with his children when they turned away from him. He allowed them to be taken captive. Many times he allowed them to be killed, to be slaughtered because of disobedience. Are we ready to meet him? Because our day will come where we will face Jesus, where the books will be open and another book will be opened. Is our name in that book? Do we know whether our name is in that book or not? Because we can know. How? Take this book, take the Bible, and apply it to your life. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, and which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul had taught Timothy. And now he encouraged him. He says, hold fast. Do not let go. Because when we let go, Satan grabs hold. It's one or the other. Where are we at? Is our name in the Lamb's Book of Life? When we go out to proclaim God's word, do we understand? Or do we say, I don't know, this is what is said? Which rock are we standing on? Are we depending on somebody else's knowledge? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong about studying God's word, asking other people for insight. But then, do we know? When we go out and we proclaim God's word, do we know whether we're preaching the truth or not? Very dangerous slopes to depend on somebody else. Because God tells us in his word, there are people out there that are walking so close to the truth and they're deceiving. They're deceivers. Do we know what we are preaching? Is it someone else's opinion? I want to tell you of a little lesson I had when I was teaching youth. We were studying John chapter 3. Why don't we turn to John chapter 3? We were studying John chapter 3 and verse 3, where it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then we discussed it. And then all of a sudden, one of the students says, or he read something, and I says, Where did you read that out of? And he says, My Bible. He said, I read it out of my Bible. It wasn't in my Bible. And I says, really? And he says, yeah, it's in my Bible. And I'm using my dad's Bible today. So he was confident it was good. And yet, these words say, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. In his commentary, it said that it was referring to our first birth in this verse, and it's not. And how we can know it's not referring to the first birth is if we continue. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about two different births here. Our fleshly birth and our spiritual birth. And so we see commentaries are something somebody has written into, added to God's word. It is not the inspired word of God. So when we read other books, when we listen to other people speak, we should always make sure, we should know that what is being said is the truth and not misinterpreted. Whether it's the inspired word of God or whether it's something that somebody thinks it is, that they think it is, but it isn't. We need to make sure. When we go out and preach, and I'm not talking about standing behind a pulpit, and yes, we need to put that in there also, but when we go out and live our life, do we know what we're standing on? What we're living for? Why we're doing what we're doing? Are we truly in Christ? Or are we saying, well, I'm not sure, but this is what somebody said, and I'll just take it for that. Because on judgment day, that won't stand. His word will stand. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 23 to 29. We read, But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. After Jesus Christ came and gave himself on the cross, we were set free from all those things that the people had to do in order to remain true to God, for the sins that they had committed. Verse 26, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. If we haven't accepted him, if we don't allow him to lead and guide us every day, every step of our way, we are not in him. Our faith needs to be, that is what our faith is trusting in Jesus Christ. Verse 27 says, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want to turn to Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God. So first of all, when we stop here and we look into the verse there where it says, these things saith Amen. Who is it talking about, the Amen, when it says the Amen? When we go into 2 Corinthians 1:20, it also talks about the same Amen, referring to Jesus Christ, referring to God. And if we continue, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, cold, nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Very, very serious words that we have here, where we should be able to identify with. Have we surrendered 100%? Or are we riding the fence? Because he says, if you're neither cold nor hot, he says, I will spit you out. We won't have part of eternity with him in heaven. We need to make sure where we're at. In verse 17, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So here he tells us that we are to know where we're at. To depend on the riches of this world won't get us into heaven. If that is what we think, he calls us wretched. He calls us blind. And he tells us to buy from him, to come to him, allow him into our lives to lead and guide us. He says, put on eye salve so you can see clearly. Take the word of God, study it. Make sure the road you're walking is straight and narrow, that we're not on the broad way which leads to destruction. And then in verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus gives us an invitation, just like here. He says, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. He that will open up, I will come in. That's a promise. When we surrender, when we give up self, give it all over to him, that promise becomes reality, where we can go out in peace. serving him, not being ashamed of what we're doing, yet standing strong. And he gives us an invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, where he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." Friends, if there's someone out in within us here today that hasn't done that yet, please do that now. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." If we have accepted him and we're following him, and yet things are so hard that we cannot understand, we cannot grasp, why are these things happening to us? We can also come to him. And then he says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I should maybe go there. Matthew chapter 11, just so I get it right. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It'll be a joy to serve him. That is my wish and my prayer for us here today. And if we have done that, if we turn back to Revelations chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." What a wonderful promise. Worth giving up self and being able to be seated at the right hand of God with Jesus for all eternity. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne one more time this morning. Lord, we thank you for everything you continue to do for us. We thank you for this time of grace where we can still make things right. Father, I pray that should there be someone here that hasn't done that yet, pray that your Holy Spirit might dwell upon him in a mighty way, and that he would realize the need to give up self. And when sometimes we hide things because of shame, people will find out. But we know that that is okay, because you know already. And we also know that if we have sin within us, that that will be recorded when that book is opened. Father, we know that on our own, we're unable to do that, and we look to you for strength, and we thank you for that. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. We want to one more time go and bend a knee, and for whatever lies on your hearts, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 29, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Page 29.
sins which were big are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, dark the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, and though dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, clouds of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, there's a light in the valley of death now for me. Since Jesus came into my heart, and the gates of the city beyond I can see. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart.
Good morning. A new song. Very nice. I want to thank Brother Henry for his enthusiasm and his insight that he shared with us today. Thank you, Henry. A couple of announcements. Thank you for supporting Faith Mission. God is working in miraculous ways in the world today. Please come to hear what God is doing in the countries of Moldova and Ukraine as the war continues to destroy buildings and infrastructure in Ukraine. Thousands of people have lost their lives. Faith Mission directors will be reporting on their trip to Ukraine and Moldova tonight at 7 p.m. in the Winkler EMMC Church. Just a reminder, baptism classes will be starting this Tuesday at 7:30. Also, the Salem Home Ladies Auxiliary presents their FOSPA in a box event just in time for Valentine's Day. Please make your orders by tomorrow online, and then you can pick them up on February 11th. Proceeds will go towards wheelchair-accessible garden planters for residents at Salem Home. And finally, in the foyer, you'll find a box of books. They're the Sommerfeld Church History books. And they're for those for the taking for free, for anybody that would be interested. Just one per household, please. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. As for this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring you out of God's word, but want to thank you for coming, and may his peace that he has to offer go with you. For closing, I want to bless you with the words. First of all, I want to encourage you with the words that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, where Paul encourages his church. He knows that his time is almost at hand, that he too will be taken, where he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Are we ready to say goodbye to this world? Are we ready to meet Jesus? Paul was. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And that promise still holds true for us today. And that is my wish and prayer for each one of you, that you can go forward in peace, knowing that peace is within you, and that is because of his grace toward us, and we have done our part. And in verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And you may go in the peace. Remember, Jesus is watching.